Joining us now on the Rivertown Hotline, boy, talk about giving blood. It seems like the Pitt football team has given their pound of flesh, guys. Seems like you need a tourniquet at times. They're just bleeding, and you can't seem to find the fix for this team. Now 5-6, and it was not a good game. It was not pretty in the backyard brawl against West Virginia. And former Pitt quarterback Pat Bostic, current color commentator for all games right here on Sports Radio 93.7, the Fan joins us. Pat, I'm going to get to the game in just a second, but the news of this day, were the comments made by Chaz Alexi to that of Michael Haywood when he first met the team. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were still on the team and in that locker room, were you, when Michael Haywood first spoke, and what was your impressions?
I think he was coming into a locker room and a team full of guys that obviously had just gone through a coaching change and wanted to make a first impression with us by being firm. And I'm not a rush to judgment. I'm a wait-and-see kind of guy. Obviously, what Chaz said, Chaz has never been short of words and always has an opinion. He's been like that. I've known him since high school, and he has probably a little bit quicker to judgment than me. So my impressions were that he was coming in his first meeting and was just trying to make an impression with us, and that was it. I didn't put too much into it.
All right, well, let's put your wait-and-see technique to test here. Tell me about Tino after his first year into this new system.
Obviously, he hasn't been good enough. He's gone out, played well at times. I think he's played well when he hasn't tried to do too much. I thought against West Virginia, after the interception, things kind of spiraled downhill. I thought didn't trust himself, didn't trust his reads. I was gun-shy, and it just manifested itself into taking sacks and trying to run, and that's kind of been a trend. He's been inconsistent, to say the least. When he's been good, he's been solid. And that was the Connecticut game. That was the South Florida game. And when he's tried to do anything more than that, trying to press in close games, things haven't gone out well. And the results obviously have been as uneven as his play.
Now, would you also say maybe some of his weaknesses were masked earlier, obviously with Ray Graham and obviously the everyone that was surrounding him? He had a healthy O-line at one time, and then suddenly Ray Graham goes down, and Tino, not to his fault, had to carry this team unfairly, I think, at some times. But at the same time, you're the quarterback. You're asked to do things. I just don't know. For me personally, I look at this, I just think it's a tough situation being the first year in a new system. He's used to a pro style where before you get the snap, you're looking for where things are going to happen. But in this style of offense, obviously, everything, he has to make his reads after the snap, and I just don't know if he picked up that quick. What were your thoughts?
I think you're exactly right. Obviously, when you huddle, you get to communicate all that in the huddle. Obviously, all your checks and things are built into your call. The pro style offense, I think there's more checks and balances because you got the entire play clock. When you get to the line of scrimmage in the no huddle, it's very reactionary. So that is a transition for Tino. But nonetheless, I do think he's done some things fundamentally that have been just not sound. Taking sacks, putting the ball in jeopardy, the interception at the end of the half, I think, led to a lot of his struggles. And I think that would permeate all different kinds of offenses. So he's had a year. It's like you'd say with a freshman. At the end of the year, he shouldn't be a freshman. And at this point, it's just been inconsistent.
Talking to Pat Bostic here on Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. Pat, there were a couple plays this week, one in the pro game, one in college, that I'd love to get a quarterback's reaction to. We saw in the Steelers game, Tyler Palko's last throw of the game, Dwayne Bowe, it's like his arms fell off, right? He practically folded his arms in midair. And then we saw Tino, actually, I thought, threw a really good ball to Drew Carswell, and the same thing happened. Is there any explanation, particularly with Carswell, as to what happened on that play? And if you're the quarterback, how do you react?
I watched the Steelers game. I think the throw to Bowe at the end there, I thought, he's such an elite receiver, you wouldn't expect to see that from him. I didn't know if it was a lapse in effort or just a misjudgment, but I can speak more to the throw from Tino to Carswell. I thought there were two throws Tino made that were absolutely perfect. The post to Devin Street, I think it was early in the third quarter, out of their own end zone, could have been caught, should have been caught. And then the middle eight post route to Carswell in the second half, that should have been caught as well. I think a lot of times your eyes get big when you see that ball in the air and you know you beat your guy. It was cover two. He beat the middle linebacker like a drum and was wide open. and the ball goes down, just starts dropping down the chimney for him, and instead of putting his hands up and high pointing it, he wants to make sure he runs and catches and hits the end zone. First things first, you got to catch the ball, and sometimes seeing the end zone and knowing that you got a chance to score, if that preempts that, then you miss the bunny and drop the ball. And then the result, he was about 3 feet short of it, but he's 6'4". He should go up and get that ball. And I thought that would have really helped Tino's confidence. Whether it was a lapse in judgment for Dwayne Bowe, I don't know. But I think it was a lapse in judgment for Carswell.
After the game, Pat, Tino said, well, basically, you know, if you get your – he wasn't talking specifically about Carswell, but he said something to the effect, if you get your hands on the ball, you should catch it. Is that something – that a quarterback, that kind of comment needs to stay away from, or is that fair? Or is that something that maybe your teammates might not appreciate?
I think it goes both ways. It depends. I mean, I didn't hear all his comments after the game, but you've got to obviously go both ways. As a quarterback, you tend to speak for the entire offense, we. And that's just the way it goes because you are kind of the spokesperson. So you say we get our hands on the ball, we got to catch it. If I got a guy open, I got to make a throw. I got to make a play. I can't take a sack. If you speak in generalities like that, that's okay. But when you start speaking specifically, we mentioned a player or a specific play, that can become problematic. I don't think he went down that road. But I would say if you're speaking in generalities, that's pretty par for the course for a quarterback talking after a game, just evaluating what transpired.
Pat Bostic with Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. Pat, part of spin control is painting a picture at times that is glossy but not accurate. I think of Baghdad Bob when he was saying there were no American troops in Baghdad when, in fact, we were getting ready to take over the whole town. Part of the head coaching job in football is to do just that as well, paint a rosy picture. Todd Graham is very, very good at that. But how much of that picture is accurate now, and how much attention does he still garner in that locker room? And I guess if I could triple barrel it to you, does he still have the locker room?
I think so. I think everyone at this point has understood the transition to this point. I mean, I think his frustrations, Coach Graham, contrary to what you said, painting a rosy picture, I think his frustrations have been visible and transparent, and I think the team's frustrations have echoed that. So I think everyone's very much on the same page, and having that locker room right now probably – more so than ever. I think some adversity can bring you together as opposed to pushing you apart, especially in year one. You know, when you go through some adversity, everything was peachy keen and rosy at this point. You wouldn't really learn as much about yourself, but this program in its first year together with Coach Graham and this team has had to bond together through some tough times and lost some close games. Yeah, you could say that could be problematic. I happen to not think so, especially being around here every day. I think the relationships are solid. I think the guys are focused on winning this last game. The seniors are still bought in and fired up. They play as hard as they played in week one. So I would not say in any way, shape, or form this locker room has been, quote, lost or is swaying in another direction or thinking about other things. I think they're focused on this game. I think they're focused on a bowl game for these seniors, and I think they're focused on the future of this program. I think it's a bright future. I think these young guys have stepped up and played, and I think that the best is yet to come.
I'm looking at college, too, the coach and most teams. The relationship that better be the best, better be the one between the head coach and the quarterback. Looking back over the year, how do you think that relationship looked? Because from the outside, it kind of was like that relationship you see sometimes with that dad and the son, and the dad just assumed the kid knows that he loves him, but he would never tell him. He was always harsh. Even when he did well, oh, you could do better. So I was just wondering, does it come across that way to you, or are we just too far from the picture? Because that's kind of what it looked like from where I was standing.
I think the coach and quarterback relationship, I think it can take on many different forms. The head coach and the quarterback, depends on, first of all, how much involved the head coach is in the quarterback play. And I think Coach Graham, middle of the year, took a vested effort into getting in that quarterback room with Tino and putting his hands on that position. And sometimes head coaches are more managing both sides of the ball. I think Coach Graham made a pointed effort to take an active role in Tino's preparation, and I think it has been a tough love type of relationship. But you're the quarterback. I mean, everyone always says the head coach and the quarterback get too much of the blame and too much of the praise, and you're kind of in that boat together. So if a guy's not getting it done, you got to tell that quarterback because he's got to be the most visible guy on the team. If the team's not winning, whether he's playing great or not, he's got to take criticism and he's got to quote he's got to be the spokesperson, the guy that represents the fact that, hey, this isn't good enough. And the head coach has got to echo that. And they both got to be on the same page. So sometimes it can come across as a tough love type of deal.
5 seconds left, Pat. Will Tino Cinceri be Pitt's starter at the beginning of next season? Your gut feel?
I'm not going to speculate on that. I think obviously they're going to have to make improvements in that position, whether it's him or not. I don't know. We'll see what happens come spring ball.
Hey, Pat, it's always great talking to you. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.